Today we're going to look at the Gospel of Mark, and we'll be reading from chapter 9, verses 30 through 37, and if you would like to read along with me in your own Bible or the Pew Bible, they're there to be read, and it's on page 821 in the Pew Bible. So beginning at verse 30, "They went on from there and passed through Galilee. He did not want anyone to know it, for he was teaching his disciples and saying to them, 'The Son of Man is to be betrayed into human hands, and they will kill him. And 3 days after being killed, he will rise again.' But they did not understand what he was saying and were afraid to ask him. Then they went to Capernaum, and when he was in the house, he asked them, 'What were you arguing about on the way?' But they were silent, for on the way they had argued with one another who was the greatest. He sat down, called the 12, and said to them, 'Whoever wants to be first must be last of all and servant of all.' And then he took a little child and he put it among them, and taking it in his arms, he said to them, 'Whoever welcomes one such child in my name welcomes me, and whoever welcomes me welcomes not me, but the one who sent me.'" The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let's pray together. Holy God, we come to you on this day, a day that's hot and humid, a day that we truly know what it feels like to benefit from air conditioning. And we think, Lord, about all of the things that we possess, the talents, the gifts, possessions, time, money, and most of all, that we are recipients of your love, that you call us your beloved child as we come to the font and are baptized, that we are sealed in this covenant with you for our lifetime and beyond, that we're offered this gift of a relationship with our Creator, a relationship that gives us a framework of how to live, how to speak to each other, how we treat each other, how we spend our time, our money, the words that come out of not just our mouth, but our heart. And so as we consider these truths from the gospel, and we think about how you, O God, sent your Son to model to us how to live, can we truly have the courage to live a life that models your generous spirit? We praise you, O God, and we love you. Amen. The book that Pastor Dan and I have been using for this series is called Searching for Happiness by Martin Thielen. And he shares a story in the book that resonated much with me because of our Christmas dinner that we have held here for 35 years at Westminster. And it may seem a little strange to be thinking about Christmas in July, but you know, it's 5 months away, right? Not to put you in a panic. But he tells about a Methodist church in South Carolina that joined together with 14 other churches in their community to provide a warm place for the homeless to come and sleep for the winter months. And so it was the beginning of November, and the leaders of the churches were gathering together to assign who would have which week through the winter months to host maybe 20, 25 homeless residents in their community. And so the pastor of the Methodist church was busy, and she could not attend the meeting. So she sent a representative from the church, a woman who was new to the Christian faith, and a new member of the church. And so the pastor gave this new member an assignment. She said, when you go to the meeting, make sure you sign up for a week, perhaps in January or February. Those would be good weeks for our church to host the homeless. And so this new, excited Christian went to the meeting. And as it came time to get out the calendar and to assign the weeks, there was a problem. Because with the 14 churches represented, nobody would sign up for Christmas week. And there was this pause and silence, and this new Christian was in disbelief. And she smashed her hand down on the table. She stood up and she gave a speech to the others gathered that day. I can't believe this, she exclaimed. Jesus and his family were homeless in Bethlehem on that very first Christmas. And yet not one church in this community is willing to care for homeless people during the week of Christmas. Shame on you. The pastors gathered there. Well, they did feel ashamed, but not ashamed enough to volunteer for the week of Christmas. When nobody volunteered, this laywoman boldly proclaimed, "My church, the First United Methodist Church, will take Christmas week. Not only this year, but every year." One of the pastors said, "So moved." Another said, "I'll second that." And after a quick unanimous vote, the meeting adjourned. So after leaving the meeting, the woman went to see her pastor full of excitement and hope. She said, "I have great news. Our church gets to care for homeless people during the week of Christmas, not only this year, but every year. Isn't that great?" Well, that wasn't exactly great news to the pastor. What about their Christmas Eve services? How would they find volunteers to cook and care for homeless people during the holidays when people were already overwhelmed with cooking for their own families? No, this was not good news at all to the pastor. She deeply regretted not going to the meeting herself. But what could she do? It was a done deal. The story goes on that the pastor was overwhelmed when the plea went out for help for this Christmas week of hosting the homeless. And the week turned out to be an amazing, life-giving week for the First United Methodist Church. At the candlelight Christmas Eve service, the front three pews were filled with these new residents at the Methodist Church who felt welcomed and loved and had a Christmas like they'd never had before. And so this went on year after year. The First United Methodist Church hosted. And then a funny thing happened. After 5 years, the Baptist preacher in town called the Methodist pastor and said, "We wondered if you would be open to letting First Baptist host the homeless for Christmas week, because we've heard what an amazing experience of generosity it's been for your church." Imagine how humbled the Methodist pastor was to hear this testimony. And who led this miracle but a new person of faith? Perhaps not jaded or influenced by years in the church, thinking of what could not be possible rather than what is possible. And I have to admit, when I first came to Westminster and heard about the Christmas dinner here, I thought, wow, I'm glad I'm not in charge of that. And yet through the years, as I've gotten to experience what it's like to be here on Christmas Day and to see people truly experiencing what God's kingdom looks like, it is exactly what Jesus is telling the disciples in our passage today. It's about living a life of generosity, about possibilities. Now, when we look at the disciples in these passages here, it's amazing that in both instances, they are mum, silent, nothing. They're first of all mum because they're really in shock and disbelief when Jesus is telling them that he's going to die and then 3 days later be resurrected. It just doesn't seem possible. And they don't know what's going to happen, so they have this fear, right? And so what do we do when we have fear and anxiety and we're tired and grumpy? I don't know what happens in your house, but we start arguing, proclaiming our case, right? Taking our stand, making sure that our will is followed, whatever the drama of the day might be, whose chore wasn't done, who didn't unload the dishwasher, whose turn is it to mow the grass? The list goes on and on. Somewhere along the line, I don't know when it happens, the terrible twos, the terrific threes, I don't know. But we start to get greedy about our time and sharing what we have. We struggle with letting go, whether it's our money, our energy, plotting out, how am I going to get everything done? How do I not short myself? We live in a culture that continually tells you to look out for yourself. Now, you've heard me say it before, self-care, it is important. You do need to exercise and eat well and get enough sleep. But what Jesus wants us to hear, whoever wants to be first must be last of all and servant of all. Now, that definitely goes against, you know, elbowing our way to the front of the line. I can still remember Barbara Grafton in kindergarten knocking me out of the front of the line when it was time to line up for milk for lunch. It happens in preschool. And then it continues. Who's the most powerful? Who has the best of this or that? Humility goes out. Kindness, we lose it. And again, hear those words, whoever wants to be first must be last of all and servant of all. If we spend all of our time for other people, if we tithe, give 10% to the church, what's going to be left? We got in the mail yesterday an invoice from William Jewell College for our daughter's first semester. A lot of money. Even with scholarships, right? And your heart starts to just race. Is this gonna just fall from the sky? Every parent, every student knows that anxiety. And yet Jesus is saying, don't hold tighter. Let it go. I received that same invoice many, many years ago, much less amount of money, right? And my sophomore year, as I was struggling to figure out how I was going to pay my half, which was our agreement with my parents, an opportunity came to go to Haiti on a mission trip. And I knew the last thing I could do was call my parents and say, guess what? In addition to that money that I need for tuition, I also need some money to go to Haiti. You'll give me that, right? You're missionaries. You know how powerful it can be to go to a developing country. They were both working, making good salaries, but I knew that money wasn't going to be there. And so I did what every good church member does. I sent a letter to the pastor in my home church saying, I have this opportunity to go to Haiti. And so he called me up and he said, well, I'll see what we can do, but a lot of our funds have already been distributed. And so I continued to hope and pray that somehow this money would come. And I can still remember walking across the quad of the college, and it was a beautiful November day, warm enough that the windows were open, and the chaplain yelled out the window across that quad and said, Trisha, we got a check today for you so you can go to Haiti. I don't, to this day, know who wrote that check and where that gift came from. But I can tell you that that trip to Haiti is the main reason that I'm standing here today as a pastor, a preacher. Because I saw in Haiti a kingdom where they cared about each other, where children stood in a circle and they threw hygiene out the window and they took a lollipop and they took a lick and then they handed it to the child next to them so they could have a lick. And the lollipop went around the circle and came back to me. That's the kind of kingdom that Jesus wants for us. So what are we scared of? Retirement? Pensions running out? Government crashing? The list could be long. And yet we, as people of faith, are called to continue to serve each other and to be generous with what God has given to us. It calls us to be vulnerable enough to have the courage when we sign up to give 2 hours to serve a meal at First Press, or when the nominating calls to ask you to be on a committee, I'm going to have to drive over to the church and go to another meeting. I could stay in my recliner. Or when it's time to fill the chancel and sing songs in the choir, or to join the bell choir, make cookies, you know. Later today, when you're in your air-conditioned home and it's time to put on your swimming suit and head out to Gates Pool, be easier to stay home. That's not what the community looks like, friends, to stay home by yourself. When you stood in the front of the sanctuary, maybe in the last year, maybe in 1955, 56, and you took a covenant to be a member, an active, contributing member of Westminster, that covenant means that you continue to write the checks, that you continue to have the money withdrawn, that you continue to serve on committees, that you continue to come as you are able to worship in times of fellowship. Yes, it takes effort. It takes our time. And we don't do it just so that we can receive. Remember Jesus' words from Matthew, those who find their life will lose it, and those who lose their life for my sake will find it. You may lose some tangible things in this journey, but you will gain so much. And that what we do when we are generous, it brings glory to Christ, who gave much more than an offering, but gave his life for us. Jocelyn sang a beautiful song that was written by John Bell. And the last verse I want you to hear today: Lord, your summons echoes true when you but call my name. Let me turn and follow you and never be the same. Whether you're going to the same job tomorrow that you've gone to for years, or whether you're going to volunteer now that you're retired, or whether you're headed soon off to the university to begin a new life, God calls your name to be generous with all that God has given you. There's a story of a woman who met with the new pastor. She was the matriarch of the church, and she wanted to give him some advice. And so this young pastor went over to visit her, and she said, "You know, Pastor, every Sunday you'll come to church and you'll see us dressed up. You'll see us with smiles, and you'll ask us how we are when you shake our hand, and we'll say we're fine. But I want you to know that behind those smiles, behind every heart, there's a little pail of tears. A little pail of tears that holds grief, that holds loss, that holds disappointment." And she said, "That's why we keep coming to church. Because we feel each time a little more healing, a little more peace, a little more love. That's what we are as the body of Christ. So as you greet each other after church today, have your coffee, see yourself as that vessel of generosity. That because you chose to get out of bed and come to church today, you can help someone who has that pail of tears by being present to them. Let us pray together. Oh God, in our hurt, our suffering, our disappointment, you call our name. You summons us to come and to be present to your amazing, abundant love. So God, no matter where we may be lacking today, maybe in our checkbook, or the amount of good health we feel, or the amount of goodwill that we have to share, help us, God, to be vulnerable enough, courageous enough to care about each other and to trust you with all of our heart. We praise you and we love you. Amen.